begin reading at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath given to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the way that we have been blessed in this service from the songs that we've sung and the songs that we have heard sung. Thank you for the song the choir sang, reminding us that you've raised up believers here in the last days for such a time as this. We think so often about men like Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon and Joshua, Paul and Peter and John. We think of these men who, in our way of thinking, are the ones who ought to be here in these last days, and yet here we find ourselves with an opportunity to serve you in the most evil time that there's ever been on the face of this earth. We pray that you would impress that thought upon us, the thought that we have been raised up, we're living, and you've placed us in such a time as this, in such a time as this when your people need to stand firm and faithful and foursquare upon your word. We pray that those words would not only be a challenge to us, but a conviction to us. We ask you to speak to our hearts now as we look into your word for a few moments. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, for a few minutes, and I feel like I owe you some minutes from this morning. I went a little longer than I normally do. I'd like for us to finish up a thought or two that we didn't really have time to get to last Sunday night. As we started this fourth chapter, we saw that it begins with a warning about the dangers of the last days. And we noted that as Paul begins his warnings to Timothy and to us about the last days, his first warning involves the Word of God. And I think that's very important for us to consider. He begins, as we mentioned last week, with what appears to be a defense of the inspiration of the Word of God. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Those words that bring before our minds this subject of the inspiration of the Word of God. Paul brings up the Word of God first here because I believe that departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, begins when an individual or a ministry lays down the inspired, preserved Word of God, the King James Bible, and picks up in its place one of these new modern translations. And again tonight, I'd like for us to consider one more time that the primary danger of the last days centers around the battle over the Word of God. And in connection with that, what we see in this first verse, as Paul begins his warnings, is the deceptive nature of the last days. The last days are going to be days of great deception. When the disciples asked the Lord in Matthew chapter 24, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" You remember that he began his answer with these words, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Then he said this in verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." There are two ways to think about that verse. One way is to read it and think of it as though there will be many that will come, and this many that come will claim themselves to be Christ. It's the way that I had always read that verse and thought about that verse. But the other way to think about it, and I believe the right way to think about it, is the way Pastor Kelly suggested in a message several years ago. And that is that many will come and they will say concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that He is the Christ. In other words, there are going to be many who will come agreeing with the Bible, claiming to believe not only the word living, but the word written. That's far more deceptive. It's far more dangerous than a person standing up and claiming that he is the Christ. We don't pay much attention to people like that. Some man out in Arizona here in the last week or so claimed to be the Messiah. We don't give that much thought. But it's far more deceptive when someone comes along saying that Jesus is the Christ. It's far more deceptive when someone comes along and says that they do believe the Word of God. The one word that characterizes the last days is the word deception. And we see that in the language here. The language of verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Seducing spirits are misleading spirits, corrupting spirits, deceiving spirits. Spirits that persuade and lead into error and disobedience. And the process of seduction is very subtle. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly over a period of time. One of the greatest object lessons of how that happens, of how seduction takes place, occurred right here in our own state a few years back with the moving of the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. The lighthouse was in a place of danger. It was in danger of being taken over by the sea, having the sand washed out from under it and perhaps collapsing. And so it was moved. The lighthouse was removed from its original foundation. It was placed on temporary skids and pushed along a track. And the move was so subtle that it was almost imperceptible. Think about that. Something that is 193 feet tall and weighs almost 10 million pounds was moved over a half a mile. And the move was almost imperceptible, even to those who were standing right there and watching it. And yet the lighthouse moved. That's how seducing spirits work. And the misleading and the corrupting and the deceiving and the persuading are so subtle that the move from truth to error, the move from obedience to disobedience, is almost imperceptible, even to those who are in the midst of it. And again, I would say that departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, begins when an individual or a ministry lays down the inspired, preserved Word of God and turns to one of these new modern translations of the Bible. That's the first step. One of the most interesting things about the moving of the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse is that before it could be moved one inch, it had to be cut away from its foundation. That foundation is worth mentioning. For 130 years, that 193-foot lighthouse, that 10-million-pound structure, had been resting on plain yellow pine timbers. I think that's just absolutely incredible. We would think that there would be perhaps granite or some kind of stone foundation under it. In modern terms, what might come to our mind is pre-stressed concrete or reinforced steel beams. But that's not what that lighthouse rested on. The foundation was made of yellow pine timbers. There's a message in that. Tonight, the foundation of our faith does not rest on the new, modern, man-made, pre-stressed concrete or reinforced steel beams of the new modern versions of the Bible. Tonight, our faith rests on the plain, old, simple, yellow pine timbers of the Word of God, the King James Bible. Before the lighthouse could be moved, it had to be cut away from its foundation. And the people that were responsible for doing the moving had a very special device for that. It was a diamond cable wire saw. And that saw made a cut that was razor thin in that foundation. It made a cut that was so thin that it was almost invisible. Satan has one of those kinds of saws. His diamond cable wire saw is called textual criticism. It's called the oldest and best manuscripts. It's called Hebrew and Greek scholarship. It's called the glory of education. And what Satan has done is he's taken that saw and he's gone into churches and schools and ministries all over this country, and he's made a razor thin cut, an almost invisible cut. And he's cut churches and schools and ministries away from their foundation. Once the engineers had cut the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse away from its foundation, the granite and the brick that rested on those simple yellow pine timbers was replaced with a series of what they called shoring towers. And each of these shoring towers had four legs, and each leg had a hydraulic jack in it. once the pine timber was completely removed and all the shoring towers were in place, then the lighthouse was ready to move. The very same process has taken place in America. Satan has taken his diamond cut wire saw and he's made a razor thin cut in the foundation. And he has separated churches and ministries and schools from the old pine timber of the King James Bible. And he's replaced it with these new shoring towers. The shoring towers of textual criticism. The oldest and best manuscripts. Hebrew and Greek scholarship. And those shoring towers have pushed the old lighthouse of fundamentalism to a place that it never should have gone. It's pushed the old lighthouse of fundamentalism that used to shine. It's pushed it to the new modern versions of the Bible. Textual criticism, the oldest and best manuscripts, Hebrew and Greek scholarship. If we put those things and we put them into verse 1 here of 1 Timothy chapter 4, they're just a few of the seducing spirits, if you will, that have pushed the old lighthouse of fundamentalism into error and disobedience. Dynamic equivalence, adding to the Word of God, changing the Word of God, taking away from the Word of God is just one of the doctrines of devils. They've cut away the foundation and moved the Church of Jesus Christ away from its place of standing firm against the waves of unbelief and doubt, of standing firm and sending out the light of truth in the midst of the storm of liberalism and modernism. The Church of Jesus Christ has moved. And the move has been almost imperceptible. And the proof of that is just talk to people about it. They'll fight you over that. We haven't moved. We haven't changed. We take the same stands that we always took. But the church doesn't. The Church of Jesus Christ has moved inland, if you will. The Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, when it stood on the beach, stood on right at the water, the beam of its light went out much further. It was in peril. It was in danger. But the reach of its light went so much further from the place that it was. Oh, the storm waters came in and threatened, but the light went out. It went out to those that needed it desperately. The light's been moved inward, inland. And it's lost some of its reach. It's lost some of its ability to be seen farther out into the sea. Folks, the Church of Jesus Christ has moved inland, as it were, to a safe place. To a place where it doesn't confront and stand against the storm. To a place where the light of truth doesn't reach out as far and as strong as it once did. The church is in search of ease here in the world. The church is in search not of confronting evil, not of exposing evil, not of preaching against sin, but somehow having a coexistence with it. We don't want to make waves. We don't want to cause problems. We don't want to be disliked here in the world. The Church of Jesus Christ has moved inland. to a safer place, to a place where the light of the truth doesn't reach out as far and as strong as it once did. And I'd like to just add another thought to that, if I could. What began with the Word of God, adding and changing and subtracting from it, devaluing the importance of every word of it, substituting for the words of God the thoughts and ideas of men, what began with the Word of God did not stop at the Word of God. I believe that it spread to another simple, old, yellow pine foundational document. And that's the United States Constitution. There's an important similarity between the Bible and the Constitution. God gave us His written word, and that written word, every word of it, is the anchor. It's the foundation of our spiritual liberty and life and freedom. I think the founders of this nation understood that. And so they mirrored God's pattern of anchoring spiritual liberty and freedom and life to the pages of His written word. And they mirrored that by anchoring our political liberties and freedoms to the written word of our Constitution. Same principle. And I believe tonight that there is an unmistakable link. When this nation was cut away from the old yellow pine foundation of the King James Bible, and that foundation was replaced with the shoring towers of textual criticism and the oldest and best manuscripts and Hebrew and Greek scholarship. And when those shoring towers pushed the old lighthouse of fundamentalism to the new modern translations of the Bible, when those shoring towers pushed the old lighthouse of fundamentalism into error and disobedience, I believe that simultaneously, the old yellow pine foundation of the Constitution was cut. And it was replaced with some modern shoring towers, if you will. The shoring tower of interpreting the Constitution as a living, changing document that's to be interpreted based on the times that we live in. Not fixed. Not fixed. Folks, we're so desperate, we need a fixed point of reference. That's why God gave us His Word. We need that in our nation, a fixed point of reference. That's why the founders gave us the Constitution. Another shoring tower that was placed under the Constitution is changing, is adding to the words of the Constitution. Adding words that aren't even there. Like the separation of church and state. The shoring tower of interpreting the Constitution based on foreign law. Foreign law, imagine that. There are justices that think that's a good idea. The shoring tower of judicial activism. And as a result, this nation has been moving almost imperceptibly toward the loss of freedom and liberty. That's where we're headed. And I tell you the bad news. We're almost there. We've almost completed the journey. America has moved to a place where it doesn't confront and stand against the storm of tyranny anymore. America has moved to a place where the light of liberty and freedom doesn't reach out to the world as far as it once did. And folks, I believe with all my heart that it begins when an individual or a ministry or a nation turns its back on the Word of God, lays down the inspired, preserved Word of God, the King James Bible, and picks up one of these new modern translations, turns away from the Word of God. When I think about these things, I think about this church. Tonight, by the grace of God, Calvary Memorial Church is still one of the old lighthouses. It's certainly not the only one. I don't want us to ever think that. God has a remnant here in this nation. This church is not the only one of the old lighthouses, but it is one of the relatively few that still has as its foundation the old yellow pine timbers of the Word of God, the King James Bible. And our prayer tonight is that the Lord will ever keep it that way. He's the only one that can. And He will, if we'll allow Him to. He will if we'll get out of the way and allow Him to lead and direct His work. This is His work. And what we need to do is stay out of His way and let Him do His work. I hope that we'll think about these things tonight. Think about the old yellow pine timbers of the Word of God. The only foundation that counts. The only foundation that can withstand the storms that are coming here in this nation. I mentioned in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, riding up the road, they've been working on 15501 between the traffic circle and Carthage. And I was driving up that way the other day, and there was a sign that really struck me. It said, "Rough road ahead." Rough road ahead. And I thought, that sign's not only right for this road, it has a spiritual message. There is a rough road ahead. And the thing that will endure the storm is that firm foundation of the Word of God, the old yellow pine timbers of His precious, inspired, preserved Word, the King James Bible. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we pray that You would take these thoughts and use them to impress upon us tonight the time in which we live, and that You have placed us in this time for such a time as this. You need people to stand. You need people who are willing to die to self and stand in the gap, to be part of the standard that You promised to raise up when the enemy comes in like a flood. And the enemy's coming in like a flood. And we pray that You would help us to die to self every day, and allow You to use us as part of that standard to assuage the waters of the flood of sin and rebellion that are sweeping this nation. We pray for our country tonight. And we pray that You would help us as we look at the rough road ahead to look to You, to stand faithfully for You in Your strength. Help us to understand that the arm of flesh will fail us, that we dare not trust our own. Help us to put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. And help us to be in the fight every day. We ask these things in Jesus' name.